Can't think of a better prayer, a deeper desire to be overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord. And the prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come and have His way among us and just help us to see and understand who God is. Well, we're going to start a new sermon series this morning, and you, the members of Christ Community Church, you have a role to play in this. It's called Our Favorite Passages. And so what we're asked is the members of our church, regular visitors, would let us know of some verses that have really meant a lot to them. Maybe it was a verse that you clung to in a deep, meaningful time in life, or maybe it was just a passage that you go to over and over again. So whatever it is, I want you to let me know. Let David know. Send us a message. We'll even give you a shout out during the sermon. The passage this morning was sent in and recommended by Dusky Van Fleet, and it's Isaiah 43, and we're going to hear from her in a minute about why it was so meaningful to her. It says, "Do not fear, do not be afraid," is the main command. But yet every one of us, we live with fear, don't we? There's the obvious fears that we may be going through right now, of fear of a job loss, a cut in pay, a potential loss of income. Maybe it's declining health. Maybe there is poor health that we have. We all, those of you who are parents, always have fears for our kids. We can make up fears for our kids that don't even exist because we are worried about them. You know, but beyond the obvious fears, there are the fear below the surface that I don't think you and I actually realize how often we are afraid. And maybe it's underneath another emotion. For example, maybe we lash out in anger, or we're just irritable towards somebody who's unfortunate to be around us at that time. But maybe it's not just anger that is a sinful emotion. There probably is a fear underneath that. Maybe we lash out in anger because we're afraid or fearful of somebody hurting us, and we'd rather hurt them first, or a fear of being seen and being criticized. But there's also the fear that could cause us to be quiet or to be passive because we're afraid of being known. And if we're known, we're being criticized. And so we're afraid to show up or speak up. So I want to challenge you. Your work today is to just stop and consider how you are afraid, what you are fearful of. And there's probably lots of ways that we don't even realize before. You think about fear, anxiety, worry, they're all rooted in unbelief. There is an unbelief that we are who God says we are, and that He is and will do who He has promised to be. And so when we're afraid, when we're fearful, there is always an unbelief and understanding who God is. We don't believe that every one of the circumstances, even the current circumstances in our life, has been filtered through the loving wisdom of God and the loving love of God. And so we just lose sight of that, and it leads us to be afraid. Well, our need today is to take whatever we're fearful of, whatever we're anxious about, whatever we're worried, and we want to hold it up to a correct understanding of God. And that's what Isaiah 43 gives us. It gives us this great, deep, personal understanding and knowledge of God. And so when we hold up what we're afraid of to a correct knowledge of God, I am convinced that it's going to cause our fears to lessen. So let's listen from Dusky Van Fleet right now, and she's going to tell us about Isaiah 43 and why it was meaningful to her, and then we're going to read the passage and jump into it.
Hey, CCC family. Hey, CCC family. I'm just going to share briefly why Isaiah 43, especially verses 1 through 7, have meant so much to me through the years. When I was in high school, I went through about a year and a half of sickness that required a lot of sinus surgeries and about 6 weeks of home IV treatment. Evil was trying to use this, along with other hardships in my story at the time, to convince me that I was alone and that I was responsible for my own well-being. I was very involved in the youth group and the music ministry at my church at the time, and my youth minister and my music minister loved me well. One of the songs we sang in chapel choir was called Be Not Afraid, and it was basically the words of Isaiah 43:1-4, arranged to beautiful choral music. The words to the song were, "Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight. My love for you is everlasting. My love for you shall have no end. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine. You are precious in my sight." I can still hear how the song sounded when we sang it, and I can still feel the chills that I felt every time we sang that song together as a choir. I can remember my music minister pulling me aside one Sunday at practice, and I had an IV in my arm, and he told me that he wanted me to remember the words to this song and to believe them because they were straight from God's word and they reflected how God felt about me. I've never forgotten that. I still become anxious and afraid and doubt God's love and care for me often. And when I do, I often think about the scripture and turn to it. And I remember the words to the song. I can hear us singing it in my mind. And I remember that God has always been faithful to me, even when I've doubted him and even when I felt alone. And remembering his past faithfulness helps give me faith today when I feel afraid. Thanks for letting me share. And I really hope that this encourages you too.
I love hearing from Dusky. That was incredible to hear how these verses meant a lot to her when she was going through that time in high school. So pull out your Bibles. The book of Isaiah is where we are, where it's in the Old Testament, kind of sort of near the middle. And we're going to look at Isaiah 43, 1-7. You can follow along with me in your Bibles. Hopefully you have them. If you're at home, pull it out. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 42 in a minute, so it'd be great to have your Bibles with you. If not, you can follow along on the screen. This is the word of the Lord, Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Father, I pray right now that there is so much to see in this passage about you. And so, Lord, would you open up the eyes of our heart that we would see wonderful things in your law today. Be merciful to me. God, grant us spiritual faith and repentance and comfort and challenge as we read this together and study it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most common commands in Scripture is do not fear. It's plastered all throughout Scripture. One of the reasons is that God told us to not fear is because we live in a challenging world. And he wants us to turn to him in those moments. Now, an unbelieving world, when they're fearful or afraid, they're either going to ignore it or they're going to dull the pain in some way. We do that at times as Christians. But as believers, we have the opportunity to take our fears and take what we're afraid of and our anxiety and our worry and take them to God. The scripture says, because he cares for us. So we're commanded to not be afraid. But I guess what I'm saying is that's hard. So when you are afraid, we're going to turn to the truth of this passage. The main idea of this passage is, since God has chosen us and he has promised so many things for us, let's trust him. Let's rely on him rather than letting these fears crush us. So I'm going to give you some reasons that we are not to fear. Do not fear because, first of all, God shows undeserved grace to his own. Now, what makes the truth of this text so remarkable is understanding that it's undeserved. Now, the context of Isaiah, we have the people of Israel, and they were living in rebellion. They were living in wickedness against God. They were setting up idols. They were turning to them. They were in sexual immorality. They were in wicked rebellion against God. And as a result, they had been conquered by the Babylonians. And so they were taken into captivity. Their cities were destroyed. Families were split apart. And this was a situation in which Isaiah was writing. So the book of Isaiah is a letter to a conquered people, a downcast people who have been spread throughout many different places, even around the world. And so Isaiah, the voice of God, the messenger of God, is writing to them. And so when we think about Israel, and what we're going to learn is they were not worthy candidates of God's grace. They were in rebellion. And so let's look together at Isaiah 42, verse 24. Isaiah 42, verse 24. It says, "Who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderer? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk, in whose law they would not obey?" So here we see their sin. They didn't walk in the ways of God. They would not obey him. And then now let's look at Isaiah 42, verse 25. "So he poured on him the heat of his anger, the might of battle. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him up, but he did not take it to heart." That was the sin of Israel. They did not take the commands, the actions of God to heart. They remained stubborn. They remained defiant, even despite of God's pleas for them. So where did that lead them? Where did that leave them? Let's look at Isaiah 42, verse 22. "But this is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes, hidden in prisons. They've become plunder with none to rescue, spoil with none to say, restore." They have no one to rescue them. They have no one that's going to reverse their current situation. They are helpless. Now, Isaiah was given to a specific historical time, in a historical time, and to a people of the nation of Israel. But I hope you can see the same similarities that we have with them spiritually. We all are born in sin. We all are rebellious against God because of our sinful nature. We have no one to rescue us. We are without hope. We are undeserving of God's grace, God's intervention in our life. So now, with that background, with that understanding, let's look at Isaiah 43, verse 1. There's a contrast here that is so powerful. Isaiah 43, 1, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." But now, that is the unexpected twist in the story. The wicked character that we talked about, the nation of Israel, and even we are included in that. The wicked character is shown grace by the hero of the story. And the hero doesn't come in and destroy the villain, the wicked, but he actually accepts him and actually showers him with undeserved mercy and grace. Can you feel that undeserved grace at that moment? But now, even in spite of who you are, even in spite of what you have done, but now, I have created you. I have formed you. You are mine. God shows undeserved grace to his own. So how does that affect our fears? When we are afraid, when we are anxious, when we believe God is not going to come through for us. God came through when we were at our worst. No matter what we do as his children, we cannot keep God away from us. God shows undeserved grace to his own. And so when we consider that and we take what we are fearful and anxious about, it increases our trust in God. God's not going to turn away when we're at our worst. So even when we're not at our worst, God's going to remain continued faithful and steadfast to help us in our times of anxiety. But there's a second reason that we're not to fear. We're not to fear because God protects his own. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And then 43, verse 3. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you." So the Lord's telling them, you're not to be afraid in captivity because you belong to me. And I'm the sovereign God. I set up, I take down kingdoms and kings and governments. You belong to me. I am yours. You are mind. And so as we consider our fears and we think about when we're anxious, and a lot of times when we're fearful, we feel alone, don't we? We feel isolated. We're afraid of losing our job. We're afraid of our health. We're afraid of our kids going off the rails. We're afraid of all that may happen to us, of being exposed. We're fearful of all things. In those moments, we feel alone. But what God is saying, you are not alone. In fact, you belong to me. I am yours. We have an unbreakable relationship. That's what Romans 8 at the end of that is all about. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Trouble, hardship, persecution. None of that. God says, you are mine. And I am forever tied to you. You belong to me. You are my own. And so we think about our fears and realize, why am I afraid? I belong to God. I am his. Think about an illustration of this. Some of us had wonderful elementary school years. Others of us had challenging. And think about elementary school playground. Now, this is difficult because all you kids are at home now. You're not even at school. But go back to those moments when there's recess and you're at playground and you just got finished a game of kickball. And then these two bully kids come up in your class and they start pushing you around. They start threatening you and your fear rises about getting pummeled on the playground. But then in the distance you see a familiar face, and that familiar face is walking towards you. And you immediately recognize that's your 12th grade big brother, the senior. And he's rolling in, and he's about to break up these two little punks who are trying to threaten you. And so at the moment, you're fearful. But then when you see the presence of your big brother, your fear goes away. And those two kids say, well, who is that? And you say, that's my big brother. I belong to him. Believer, we can take our fears, acknowledge them, and go, you know what? I should not be afraid. I am not to fear because I belong to God. The God, the sovereign God, who controls all things. Why should I fear? Do not be afraid because God protects his own. And then we see it even more in verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. I want you to notice first, the passage doesn't say if you go through waters or if you go through fires. It says when. Trials, difficulties. This is a tough world. This is a painful world. This is a distressing world that we're all in. When we go through this, don't be shocked when it happens, even to the Christian. There's no difference in what happens to believers and unbelievers in terms of good or bad. That's what Jesus said in John 16. He says, in this world you will have trouble. So what are we to believe about this verse, specifically Isaiah 43 and verse 2, and how do we apply it to an understanding that will help with our fears? First of all, God is with us. He's saying, I am with you. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. I don't know if Isaiah was referring to the Red Sea or the crossing of the Jordan River, but that's when Israel remembers that God was with them. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. I remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this image of Jesus. Jesus himself was with them in the fire. Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah in the well, King David in the cave hiding from his enemies. God is with us. God is with you in every affliction, in every potential disaster in your life, in every uncertainty in your life. God is with you in the future. He's going nowhere. He will be with us at all times. He says, I will be with you when you go through all those challenging things. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Now, also as we think about that passage, God's going to protect us from ultimate harm. Now, this verse isn't saying that we won't be slightly burned by the fire. We won't go through the waters. That's kind of how I used to read that verse. It's like, God, why weren't you there to protect me from the waters? Why are the fire in my life? Why are these disappointments, these things that are causing me pain? You were supposed to protect me from them. Have you ever considered that God may be protecting you from a greater pain by allowing or even bringing into your life a lesser pain? A greater fire is protected by God in our life by allowing a smaller fire in our life. God says, I will be with you, but also he's saying, I will allow and even bring certain things into your life, not because I want to see you in pain, but because I am protecting you. I'm protecting you from something that's harder and can bring more pain and harder for you in your life. Reading this commentary from Matthew Henry, and I just want to follow along this quote from him. He says, whatever happens, nothing shall hurt the believer. Though trouble and affliction falls on them, it shall not come for his hurt, but for good. Though for the present it is not joyous but grievous, God's promise is that he will in due time deliver the believer out of trouble, and in the present time he is with him in trouble. Believer, God is with you. God will protect you, and we're to take our eyes off of our fears and place them on him and believe those two truths. Let me illustrate it in another way. I want to show a picture now of me from college. You can see how, actually, that's not me from college. That's who I wanted to be in college. That's Bear Grylls. Any of you have watched his TV show, you've seen that he is a survivalist. And he's a man's man. He does things that I can imagine doing. He teaches people how to survive in the most hard circumstances in the world. Now, a couple of his episodes, he would take celebrities out. And I thought it was always funny to see these manicured celebrities who have been pretty much protected all their life. But I do remember two episodes. One was with Kate Winslet, went out, and she had a fear of heights. And Kate Hudson was another celebrity who went out, and she was, I think her fear was claustrophobia. And there were moments in these episodes when they became fearful and even crying. They were afraid of the situation that they were placed in and were uncertain that they would get through it. Now, they were able to overcome their fears in these episodes. But how did they do it? They overcame them because Bear would tell them, look at me. Focus on me. I am with you in this, and I'm going to help you to get through it. And as a result, because they had confidence in the competence and training of Bear, their fears were lessened and they were able to overcome. There's a perfect similarity with our relationship with the Lord. When we are overwhelmed by whatever you're anxious about, and some of you are losing sleep about it, unable to eat, it's destroying all your relationships. But if you are to look to God and go, God's going to protect me. God is with me in this. I can trust him. Do not fear, for God protects his own. And then we see the third reason we're not to fear is because God loves his own. Look at Isaiah 43:4. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Now, I want to start with the back part of that verse. First, it says, when God says, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the peoples that God has conquered, that God has protected Israel from. He's saying, I have taken other wicked nations and I have judged them so that you could be redeemed, so that you would have a place. Now, it sounds awful to say, but God is saying by that is these were wicked nations, and yet I find you so valuable to me that I am willing to intervene in history. I am willing to intervene all things, good things, bad things, for you. For you are valuable to me. Now I want to go back to the beginning of this verse. And this may be one of the most personal, relational words in all of Scripture. Let's look at it again. I think about the language that a groom may say to his bride. He says, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Be honest, when I read this verse again, I was just struck by that simple statement of, and I love you. I just, unfortunately, don't think of God in those terms, who would say a simple statement that I understand and that I feel. And I want you to stop for a moment and let those words from God penetrate your thoughts right now. You are precious in my eyes and honored. I love you. It's an amazing consideration. And this is true of us because we are in Christ. Now, if you find those words hard to apply to God, let me give you another verse from the book of Zephaniah. And I love that both of these verses are from the Old Testament. Zephaniah 3:17, it says, the Lord your God is with you, He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now this verse, it seems so hard for me to believe. Because as a button-up Presbyterian at times, I don't like to apply emotions to God. Now God doesn't have emotions like us, but we're made in his image. So there, what is said of God, that he takes delight, that he desires, that he finds us precious, that he loves us, that is true of God. And that's what God says over us. So the reason that we are not to be afraid is because somebody, the most important person, has said, don't be afraid. I love you. You're precious to me. I rejoice over you. Don't be afraid, for we are loved by God. But then we see the last reason from our passage of why we are not to be afraid. It's that God fights for his own. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 5 and 6. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Now, there's such powerful imagery here. I mean, we have God who's like barking orders at north and south. He's saying, give up my children. Think about the people of Israel. They're scattered all over the place. And God can control the degrees. God can control the earth. God can control the nations. He can tell anybody and says, bring them back. I'm going to gather them. No matter where they are, I see them. And I'm coming for them. I'm pursuing them. And I hope you see the similarities in your own life. Those of you who have parents of older kids or maybe teenagers and they're not walking with God, they're rebelling against God, there is great comfort that I give to you from this passage. God will go after them. God will bring them back. God will gather them. So the reason that we are not to be afraid, because when we're afraid, we feel alone. We feel like God is ignoring us, that God's not going to intervene in our place of business. God's not going to intervene in our doctor's report. God's not going to intervene in our bank account, in our relationships. Yes, he will. God says, there's nobody that can keep me from gathering my people and bringing them together. I will go after them. I remain committed to my own. Don't be afraid. I'm going to come for you. Now, immediately when I thought about this understanding, there's a children's book that probably almost every one of you who are parents, or probably even as a kid, hopefully your parents exposed you to. It's called The Runaway Bunny. The story of a mama bunny and a little bunny, and the bunny wants to get away, wants to experience what life would be away from his mom. And the book starts out and it says, once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, I am running away. And his mother said, if you want to run away, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny. If you run after me, said the little bunny, I'm going to become a fish in a trout stream, and I'm going to swim away from you. You become a fish in a trout stream, said his mother. I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you. If you become a fisherman, said the little bunny, I will become a rock on the mountain high above you. If you become a rock on the mountain high above me, said his mother, I will become a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are. If you become the wind and blow me, said the little bunny, I will join a circus. I will fly away on a flying trapeze. If you go flying on a flying trapeze, said his mother, I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you. If you become a little boy and run into a house, said the mother bunny, I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you. Shucks, said the bunny. I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny. I love that story. It brings such comfort to me because I'm like that bunny. I want to live and experience life, and I'm running away from my father. And just to know that he's going to come after me, that he's not going to leave me, that he's going to bring me back, shucks, I might as well just stay close to God, to my father, and have a proverbial carrot. Do not fear, for you belong to God. Do not fear, for he protects his own. He loves his own. He will fight for his own. Let me just give you a few applications from Isaiah 43. First of all, I want you to do the work. The work I want you to do is, where are you afraid? Where are you anxious? Where are you worried? Now, some of you are just like, you live in worry. That's the oxygen that you breathe. And others are like, I'm good. I'm like this. No, you're not. All of us have fears and anxiety. And so do the work today. Take a moment and go, what's beneath my normal way of living? What am I afraid of? What am I anxious about? Write it down. Consider it. And then what I want you to do is to hold it up to an understanding of God from Isaiah 43. The last application is we see in Isaiah 43:7. It says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So we take everything that we just said in Isaiah 43:1-6, and it is unbelievable truth for you. But the reason that it has been given and shown to us is for the purpose of giving glory to God. That's what Isaiah 43:7, it says, we were created for the glory of God, his glory. Don't make these verses about you. Hopefully you see, you experience some incredible comforting truths, but it's not ultimately about you. It's not about me. I love that I am loved by God, that I am precious to him, that I am forgiven, that I am pursued. But the reason is, what that tells me is so that God gets glory. I don't deserve to be come after. I don't deserve to be shown love, but he has shown love to me. He showed me love. He forgave me. He pursued me. He chose me. He calls me his own. So I want to declare to whoever will listen the glory of God. Say, it is God and God who deserves praise. That's why you and I exist. That's why we have been shown these unbelievable truths, is so that we can turn around and go, but God. So display the glory of God. Delight in God. What are you afraid of? Do not fear. You belong to God. And he protects his own. He loves his own. He fights for his own. Let's pray. God, I do pray and thank you so much for these truths that are undeserving and that are real. And God, just so grateful that you would say this to be true of us. And Lord, I pray for us right now. Show us where we are anxious, where we are afraid, we are fearful. And when we are afraid today, bring our thoughts back to these verses and to an understanding of you. And God, deliver us from choosing to remain afraid, and that we would choose to trust you and rely on you and give glory to you when you bring us through all of these things that are making us afraid. So God, we give you the glory. We're so thankful that you have chosen us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.